Bibles turned to Hebrews chapter 13. It's going to be a little distracting tonight, so the sermon will be very familiar to you, a familiar subject, and we're going to, again, keep on the subject of the tabernacle and the surroundings around us. Hebrews chapter 13, we'll just cover a couple of verses, verse 10 through 13. Again, on Sunday night, we'll cover these verses again at some point as we study the book of Hebrews on Sunday night. Again, remind you that Hebrews is written, I believe, by Paul, written to Judaistic or Judaizers, or written to those Jews who had converted to Christianity. And he was just, again, encouraging them not to go back to Judaism. And he was just basically laying out his reasons why. And so when we get to the last few chapters, the last chapters, 12, 13, 14, get those last chapters, they become very practical. Actually, chapter 13 on, they become very practical, and he gives them practical things concerning the Christian life and the Christian walk. So here he's saying, look with me in verse 9. It says, "But be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein." So he just said, hey, don't be carried about by different doctrines and different things, and stay to it. Don't let these things, remember we talked about those things which remain. Keep those things which remain. Don't let them slip. And so verse 10 says, "We have an altar." We have an altar here in front of us tonight, "where they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the camp. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach." Ready? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you tonight for your love. We thank you as we study again this most important subject. We pray, God, that you would just help us again to understand the sacrifice that your Son made on Calvary. We praise you and thank you for the blood that was shed for us. And Lord, help us to bear that reproach. Help us, Lord, to serve you in spite of the things going on. Help us not to be carried about by various doctrines, but help us to stay by the stuff. Help us not let things slip. In Jesus' name, amen. We think about the sacrifice that was made. We think about the offerings that were made in the tabernacle, and then later on, 100 years later, in the temple. And all the shadowing and the foreshadowing, as we preached on Sunday morning, and what those sacrifices illustrated and pictured, that they pictured the coming Messiah who would come and take away their sins. We think about, again, all these things. And he comes back to, he says, he speaks of the sin offering. And by the way, there were different levels of sin offering. There was sin offering for individuals whereby they brought goats, or they brought turtle doves, or whatever the case. There was sin offering for the priests. And I'm glad today that we know that Jesus Christ did not have to offer a sacrifice for himself as the priests did for their sins. But he was without sin. And then there was an offering, of course, of burnt offerings and sin offerings for the nation of Israel on the Day of Atonement. And this was for the, again, the, as we preached Sunday morning, to push those sins forward that Israel had committed as a nation, to continue to push those sins forward. I know Kelly and I were talking, and this is a good way to point out that those sins were pushed forward, but when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, the Bible said he led captivity captive. He left those who were, he took those who were in paradise and took them to heaven. Everyone with me? The Bible talks about that hell enlarged itself. Now, this is very distracting, isn't it? But hell hath enlarged itself. When Jesus Christ, listen now, when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, those Old Testament saints whose sins have been pushed forward, they were carried to heaven. Carried from paradise, which I believe, we won't get into this tonight, it's not my message, but which I believe was in the center of the earth, that there was a gulf between heaven and there was a gulf between paradise and hell, Abraham's bosom. This will be for another message at another time. But when Jesus rose from the dead, that paradise was vacated, and hell enlarged itself, and Jesus rose from the dead and took those saints with him. In other words, he paid for those sins in full, And therefore he kept his promise. And those who were there in paradise were taken to heaven. Now, they're not reunited with their bodies yet. Some of them are. How do we know that? It says some of those, when Jesus rose from the dead, the grave is open. Anyway, but well, that's another subject as well. And so there was people walking around. Hey, there's my mom. Where did she come from? She died 2 years ago. And so there's some interesting things that happened around the resurrection of Christ. But so we know that, again, that Jesus Christ, that there was that day of atonement in which the sins of Israel were pushed forward. Again, we know that the sacrifices did not, the bulls and goats did not take away sins, but merely pushed those sins forward. All right? The purpose. What was the purpose of the sin offering? It was for purification. It was for justification. To forgive sin, to push those sins forward 1 year on that day of atonement. There was a great ceremony that took place on the day of atonement. And a bullock without blemish was taken the first year. By the priest, he was put on the altar. The hands of the priest were put on that bullock. And the sins of Israel were rehearsed in front of the nation of Israel. They were set forth in front of the nation of Israel. I believe that he got up and he named it. Here's what Israel's done. Here's what Israel has done. And they were rehearsed there. And then that sin, that offering was made for the sins of Israel. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that he, God the Father, made him, God the Son, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in him. In other words, that sacrifice that was placed on the altar became the substitute for their sins. Their sins was placed upon that sacrifice. The Bible says in Isaiah that the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. There's lots of verses we can turn to. I'm going to go over a few of them, a few more of them. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. Galatians chapter 3 verse 13, the Bible says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for as it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. I mean, there's so many verses we could turn to concerning Christ's substitutional death for us. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. 1 Peter chapter 2. I got to get the right spot. Chapter 2 and verse 24 says, who his own self, talking of Jesus Christ, bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. So he in his own body bare our sins on the tree. Jesus Christ took the sins of the world upon himself. We've heard that over and over again. Well, them sheep are distracting, aren't they? It's not like anybody's running around here. You know, when we get the new auditorium, this won't be like this. Sir. So, just a good incentive. I like to point it out when I can. So that lamb pictured Jesus Christ. That bullock pictured Jesus Christ. I know this is some review. And that bullock or that lamb or that goat was sacrificed for sin. The sins, if you were transferred to them. Whether it was the individual's sins who was transferred to that sacrifice, or one time a year the nation of Israel's sins were transferred to that sacrifice. But the substitutionary death was very much illustrated in the Old Testament. Amen? The teens aren't listening at all. But it was very much illustrated for us. But there's something else that happened. Once that sacrifice took place, and then depending on the sacrifice, various parts of the animal were taken out. Some of that meat was given to the priests. Sometimes the fat was taken out. Sometimes various parts of the animal were taken out and various other things done to the animal. But one thing about it, once that dead carcass was there, that dead carcass was taken without the camp and was burned. The burnt offering, the sin offering. And that pictures for us that Christ took and was completely used up for us. The entire animal was burned. It was obliterated. It was gone. Can I tell you, Jesus Christ died the ultimate death. He died for us. He gave His life for us. He gave His all. What else can you give? Because all you can give is your life. I mean, you're done. Jesus Christ gave all for us. He was burnt, if you would, there on Golgotha's hill without the camp. He gave His life for us. Jesus atoned for the guilt of our sin. Jesus suffered and died for us. As we're going to illustrate this tonight. All these kids have been holding this animal and petting this animal. And just imagine now, that's what the nation of Israel did. Man, on the Day of Atonement and these various... They got close to these sheep are cuddly and whatever they are. And they get close to these. You know, the Passover lamb would be tied up for 3 or 4 days and they would play with that animal and then, Daddy, what are you doing? Animal would be sacrificed. Later on, the priest would make that sacrifice. And it would just make a dramatic impact. That's what it was for. That an innocent lamb had to die for them. Innocent lamb had to die for them. Suffered. And was burned without the camp. We think about lepers who could not live inside the camp, but always had to live outside the camp. The priest would take that blood that Jesus, the priest would take the blood of that sacrifice and place it upon the altar. Jesus Christ took His own blood into the Holy of Holies, made without hands in heaven, and placed it on that throne in heaven, in that heavenly tabernacle. Hebrews teaches us that blood is still fresh today. I'm glad it is, still making atonement for our sins. It says here that was made, and the body of the beast there was taken without the camp, just as Jesus also was taken without the camp and suffered for them. It says there that let us go forth therefore unto Him without the camp, bearing His approach. Just a reminder that following Christ takes sacrifice. And I think much more in our day and age, it's just going to become more evident that following Christ, being a disciple of Jesus Christ, is going and does take sacrifice. I mean, we're getting to the point where somebody pointed out to me we have a book in our bookstore that uses the word homosexual on it. And there'll come a day where that word will be outlawed. You know, it will. It's going to happen. There'll be a day where various hate legislation will continue to rise up and we'll see some suffering and we'll see some things that will happen to us even more pronounced than they are today as we go throughout, because we are Christ followers, and therefore as Christ followers we will suffer without the camp. We may not suffer within here, and we shouldn't suffer within here. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. This is so distracting. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? I'm glad to be a part of the family of God. But we know that just as Christ suffered without, He said that in this world you shall have tribulation. But not just that, but we're going to suffer persecution, the Bible says. And so He's calling all Christians to follow down that path that's not attractive, not easy, and not popular because it leads outside the camp. Genuine Christianity, listen, genuine Christianity costs something. Genuine Christianity costs something. Listen, genuine Christianity is having a relationship with Jesus Christ, developing that relationship with Jesus Christ. Everybody with me? Developing that relationship. Good job, Kyle. Developing the relationship with Jesus Christ. It's following Him. It's allowing us to be molded by the Lord. As we think about being justified, Christ justifying us, saving us, giving us eternal life, illustrated for us by way of the sacrifice in the Old Testament, and then realized by way of His sacrifice on Calvary, we are justified. Now we are being sanctified in that Christ is molding us and making us into the image of Himself. And then one day we'll be glorified. I'm looking forward to the day that He returns and we are glorified. Looking forward to the day that we receive a new body. 1 Corinthians talks about that in the moment of a twinkling of an eye we'll be changed. I'm looking forward to that day. As we think about the offering, we think about the offering, the sin offering, we think about the saint offering. In other words, we also suffer, if you would, without the camp. Then we think about the altar, and I'm done. And this will actually, I want to preach a whole message on this one. And says, wherefore, look back up there in verse 10, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle, for the bodies of those beasts, and it goes on and talks about, but it says, we have an altar. Can I say we have an altar? We have a place to come and an altar of refuge. We have a place to come and develop and have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They have an altar. They have the brazen altar here before us, which is, I think this is only a quarter of how big it really was. We think about that blood being sprinkled on that altar every day, every morning, every night, when they made the sacrifices in the morning and the evening for the sins of the people of Israel, for the sins of individuals. All the things we had to forgive, to push those sins forward, the sacrifice. The brazen altar spake of judgment. This big brazen altar spoke of judgment as that animal died on the sacrifice. There is judgment for sin. As we think about an altar in the Old Testament, the altars were always built with stones that were uncut, speaking of no works for salvation. And there's so much more. We think about the altar and what its purpose is. What is the purpose of an altar? What is the purpose of an altar? To sacrifice on. What is the purpose of an altar that we have here tonight, right up here, that some people, we all need to use periodically? It's to bring and sacrifice ourselves upon that altar. To say, Lord, I am all yours. I'm all yours. Lord, I want to be all yours. Help me. Plead your case in front of Him there at the altar. The altar is a place to come and die to self on. Lord, I die to myself, whatever you want. We think about Morgan. We think about, again, what we pray. We praise God for who and what He is. We repent of our sins. We ask. And then what was the last one? We yield. And in prayer, we always yield to what His will is. He has a perfect will. He has a perfect will for Morgan's life. He has a perfect will for my life. And I want to die to self and yield to what He would have me to do in every area of my life. I want to be that sacrifice for Him that we ought to be. And again, the Bible says that we ought to present our bodies what?
Living
sacrifice. A living sacrifice. The altar is there for us to die on. And we need to remember to die upon that altar every morning, to get up and die to self. Lord, help me to live in the Spirit, not the flesh today. Lord, help me as I live this life to live it to please You and not myself and not my kids, not my grandkids, whatever it may be. Lord, not my boss, but Lord, let me please You. And in pleasing Him, it'll take care of the rest. I have one aim in life, and that is to be like Jesus Christ. And if I'm like Jesus and if I'm molded in that image, then I will please the Heavenly Father. I don't have to please Mom and Dad. I don't have to please my kids or whatever the case is when I'm pleasing the Father. Because all the rest of it will take care of itself if I'm pleasing Him. Hard to be pulled in a lot of different directions. I just got one direction to be pulled to, and that's to Jesus Christ. Present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. Let's be yielded to Him. Let's sacrifice ourselves to Him. Let's pray, and we got about probably 10 minutes or so as the kids begin to filter back into here. Lord, we thank You for this time we've come and to have and to worship You. And Lord, we just thank You that You, for the illustration of the sacrifice You made for us. Lord, help us tonight as these kids come in here and help it to be vivid. Help it to be very real to them. Lord, help them to see You in just a mighty, mighty way. We pray for hearts to be touched. And God, help us again to yield to You and to Your will. Help us to die on the altar. Sacrifice ourselves to You and our will to You. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. Got a few minutes.